We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on, pump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Trollo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
So here it is, another week in our faces, ready to roll and gear up. For many of you, you're on your way to work. For many of you, you hope it will be the same old, same old. But it's not. The world we live in is much different than it was when we left you on Friday. And I'm going to take a new tact. Today I'm taking the I feel good, I'm going to be positive about what the future holds tact. How you doing, everybody? Welcome in. Joe Lowe and Dibs, the name of the program. Joe Fortenbaugh has fortuitously taken the week off. So I am Jim Cozumore. I sit in his chair, and yet we still have the two big names here. Dan Dibley by my side, along with the great Lorenzo Neal. Gentlemen, good morning to you and Dan Dibley. Do you buy it? I'm going to try and start today in a positive way and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, I buy it, Jim, but I'm not paying full price for it. I'm going to wait until the price drops because we both know, you and I, and I'm sure Lowe will chime in as well. It's a long week, and you may come out with Captain Positivity, Mr. Chipper Jones here at 6:01, but invariably the week, Lowe and I, we will erode this faux confidence, this faux positivity, so I'm buying it, Jim, but I'm not paying full price.
Lo, good morning. It's been a while, my friend. How are things going?
You know what? Good, Jim. It's good to can't see you yet, but it's good to talk to you and have you on the show this week. I'm looking forward to having a good time. And you know, with Dan, it's always a treat hanging out with Mr. Dibley. But looking forward to a week. It's going to be an interesting week. Interesting times, like you started, like you alluded to on the show, with everything that's going on. We're living in a world that's constantly changing. You know, from COVID to the state we're in now, just continues to just baffle, and I think a lot of us are just all, you know, lost the words for everything that the world that we live in, just in general now.
You're absolutely right, guys. And so the name of the station is 95.7 The Game, 95.7 The Game, which would lead everyone to think that, well, you're going to talk about sports, but we are not going to be blind about what's happening in our communities here in Northern California, nor the communities throughout America. It is a very difficult time for everyone. Not a time to be very proud of our country, but we know we're going to pull forward. Now, I don't know if it's going to heal immediately, but it's going to pull forward, Dan. But what we are seeing is a sport in some way, shape, or form getting involved in this, and we hope it's for a positive discussion point. But is sports something you feel? Listen. There are a lot of bad things going on. There was a horrible murder of a man in Minneapolis that has triggered a lot of negative things, a lot of horrible things that have gone on since then. Are you someone who does think that sport in certain ways can help us heal is not the right word, but help us move towards a positive end?
I think so, and it's challenging because you look at sports, and that's where you find a higher percentage of African Americans, certainly in basketball, in football, baseball to a lesser extent. But these are people who are obviously more dramatically affected by what's been going on and what continues to go on. So absolutely there's leadership opportunities there, but then you get into the deeper construct of sport, and the majority of owners are people not of color. And so you get into situations where you have to have organizations and leagues that are all moving forward on the same page. We've seen in the past where individuals have acted outside of the parameters of what the league might want from a protest standpoint? And where did that leave us? It left us with players being basically banned from the NFL and teams not knowing how to handle various protest moves. And now here we are some years later. Not only is the issue itself still a major one, but the idea of how can athletes, teams, and leagues help us understand, and like you say, Jim, heal, we still don't yet know what that approach will be.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead, Lo. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut in there.
No, you didn't cut me. That was just me jumping. I think that you're right, Dan, but I think that, you know, it's deeper rooted than that. And I have kids and daughters and sons that we've been at the table. We've been at the table talking and discussing certain issues, and you know, kudos even to Matt, to our boss that, you know, jumps on the phone and said, hey, I want to talk to, you know, three men of color, Dibs, meaning that me, Bonte, and Guru, because wanting to know how do you feel. So you can go and, you know, Dibs and Coes, both of you guys have men that you know of color and hung out, and Dibs, you've been, you know, hanging out with the bros and understand that. But at the same sense, you can still leave and go back to your, you know, just where you're at, your family. See, people don't understand. It is different. And I think when you talk about sports and you look at, you know, you talk about sports, can it heal? It can to a degree, but you got to realize what happens when usually when it's sports, it's stay in your lane. Hey, okay, you're doing too much. You think about what happens in a lot of times with sports. It then becomes, you're doing too much. You shouldn't be qualified. Just play ball. Just dribble the ball. Think about the undertones that happens when sports guys actually do try. Look how they're demonized. Look how then, I mean, come on. I mean, we were on the show, Coles, you and I and Dibs, and we talked about this 4 or 5 years ago when Colin Kaepernick. Everyone said this guy was going to be one of the greatest quarterbacks thought, and all of a sudden he does this, and then it becomes, the message got completely lost. Oh, he shouldn't do that stage. It's not. And oh, he's got the pig socks. All this stuff that they started taking what he was standing for, and the facts always, that's what he was standing for. But look what how things get lost. He can't play. He's this. He's that. When you are trying to do something, and when people start to do things that kind of ruffle the feathers, you're going to be criticized. Because of shame, because of guilt, because they don't want to talk about it, because it's ugly, and we know racism is ugly, and we understand that. So the stage becomes, okay, wow, I don't want that stage. That's not a platform for it. We're doing it wrong. And that's where people have to realize, no, we have, as people, have to come together, white, black, and people of power. And the people of power, this country was founded, you know, on people. You got to realize, so the people of power, they're not black. You have a voice. I get that. But you got to realize when these laws were written from the beginning of time, I'm just being real. They excluded me, people like me. The amendments, all these things, they wouldn't for people of color. So it's hard now. Now for all these years, you've been trying to fit it in. So I get both sides. I understand. And all of a sudden now you have all these things. You're trying to make it right. And it's complicated. It's very complicated for both sides to try to make everything just equal. It's really hard to do. And right now the system is showing that it's broke.
Well, there's a lot of stuff that we're going to get into today. And we know that this is going to be difficult ground to trod. So we ask that you bear with us. And we are debating whether or not internally, how to include everyone in this discussion. We will have some help today with guests. We will hear from Eric Davis at 8:30 today. The former 49er great is going to join us and talk about sport and its role in this particular scenario. Also, a Bay Area icon, the great E-40, will join us at 9 o'clock this morning. You know, everyone knows E-40, and we see him at all the sporting events around town and throughout the country. Whenever a Bay Area team is in the playoffs, in the finals, we always see E-40, whether it's the Giants in the playoffs. He's behind home plate. He's at Warrior Games up in Canada when they're playing Toronto. The guy's a big Bay Area sports guy. But we'll talk to E-40 at 9 o'clock this morning about how sports can help this situation in a positive fashion. But we are also in a position that we want you to have a say. the phone number, not just the phone number, but it's also the text line number now. It's 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That is also the line you text on now, so make sure you lock it into your phone. And whether you want to call us up and have your say or you want to hit us with a text, you can do that as well. But it's all one number now here at 95.7 The Game as you listen in to Joe Lowe and Dibs here on a Monday morning. And we appreciate if you download the Radio.com app. You can take Joe Lowe and Dibs anywhere you go throughout your day, around the country, around the world, and you can listen to the great morning show of Joe Lowe and Dibs. So a lot of stuff that we're going to get into, and we'll do it, I don't know if we say inside out, we'll do Bay Area where we hear conversations. Dan, Evander Kane from the Sharks has made comments. Steve Kerr has weighed in with comments that I read. Monty Poole wrote something at NBCSportsBayArea.com. So Steve Kerr has weighed in. Jaylen Brown, who played at Cal, a Celtics player, he drove down from Boston to Atlanta to be part of a march. You know, in some ways, while this didn't happen in the Bay Area, I think it's safe to say, Dan, that the Bay Area is usually pretty quick to jump on board these circumstances and have a say or try to get involved in the conversation. Is that fair to say?
It's fair to say, Jim, and you look at San Jose and protesting in Oakland, obviously, San Francisco as well. You've got communities here where people are hurting, and even though you may not live in Minneapolis, you're seeing this and everybody sees it and you're outraged, and it's an outrage that's felt not only across the country but across the world as word of protests being planned in Paris and other major European cities as well. So I just want people, when they call in today or they text in today, 888-957-9570, be mindful of the climate and be respectful of each other, and let's make it so we can have a good solid conversation about what is an impossible time right now.
Well said, Dan. Well said.
Yeah, very well said. And Lo, this is a tough time for everybody, and you know, you touched on it a little bit, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more throughout the 4-hour excursion that we have. And listen, this is going to be an important day, the entire day at 95.7 The Game. I know Bonte, Steiny, and Guru have a big show lined up to talk about all of these issues, and I'm certain that the guys in the afternoon are going to do the exact same thing. So we're here for you. And in some ways, Lo, people might just want to emote. Some people might just want to, you know, and we understand that. Dan said it very well, but we want to be a vehicle for you to have a say. And that means, by the way, there's a phrase out there that I hear all the time, I just want to have the conversation. And that can sometimes mean that there are some hard questions asked. Now, I'm being sorry, Lo. I led you down a path, and all of a sudden I see that we're a little bit late. So when we continue,
okay,
Lo, we're going to get to you. We're working it together here. Joe Lo and Dibs, Jim Cozumore in for Joe Fortenbaugh. 888-957-9570. We'll talk about personal experiences maybe in just a second, talk a little bit more about the sports angle on all of this. But don't go anywhere as you join us here on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lo and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
This segment is presented by Golden State Lumber, open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. How you doing, everybody? Joe Lo and Dibs, the name of the program. I am Jim Cozumore. Joe Fortenbaugh has the week off, so we will be together with Dan Dibley and Lorenzo Neal, and we're going to get through a very challenging Monday, but we know that we're all going to do it together, and we're going to do it as respectfully as we possibly can. And I know, Lo, we started to talk a little bit about something you had mentioned, athletes. Athletes can be in a difficult position. We saw what happened when Colin Kaepernick opted to make statements. Eric Reed opted to make statements. Eric Reed back in the news, by the way, for this very instance, and we'll get to that a little bit later on. But for athletes, can you feel a certain pressure, even if you don't want to have to say anything, can you feel a certain pressure that maybe you might have to speak?
You do, and I think that as long as people understand and they can stay united, and that's why today, before people say, you know what, I turn in to listen to sports, you know what, life is a game, and we win, we lose, and at the end of the day, we all end up in the same box. Just like when you play chess, the king, you protect the king. But when you get done with the game, everyone goes in the same box. All of us are going to go in the same ground. When we go see our maker, we all die. And doesn't matter what color, race, creed, we all have a certain amount of time on the shelf life on this earth. So I just want people today, before they think about, oh, I'm switching the station, want to talk about sports, just call in, express yourself. Even if you have questions for me, you know, even about, hey, if you're white and you think about, God, what, you know, what's it like? What, you know, what's going on? And I understand there's rage on both sides. But I just want this to be a kind of a healing process, but before we can understand one another, understand each other as just people. And, you know, Jim, and that's one thing I like about you, Jim, that, you know, and people look at it like, oh, Jim's just, you know, cause he's sometimes over the top. I love that you're honest. I love that I can sit with you, cause, and we can talk about anything. And I know the man you are. And it may come across if people that don't know you as, God, he can be brass and he can be this. But I know you. I know your heart's in a good place. And but at the same sense, I understand sometimes the frustration that you may have about different issues. And I'm like, OK, put yourself in that. And that's what today's about to me, Dan, and is making sure that everyone can have a voice and be heard in a respectful way, even if they don't understand the different things of how it works. But hopefully we can all understand one another better in this whole process, Dibs.
Yeah, and for me, Lo, it's the hardest part is it's about love and tolerance, and that's where we lack that in this country across all races and all people in many ways, whether it's, you know, denouncing a certain candidate one way or the other, whichever way you're leaning politically, or, you know, people who are cutting you off and you honk at them, and people with too many items in the checkout line when they're in the express. It's just, I think that, right, you know, the inherent issues as people are something that we have to address as just as a general population.
You know, there's a lot of stuff to get into here, and we're going to try to be as respectful as possible. There's something that Lorenzo, that you said, but I want to be clear on one issue. I know that there are some things that maybe we are divided on, but I don't think there's any division as to what happened to George Floyd in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I don't know of anyone anywhere who has said anything in favor of that horrific, rogue, awful police officer. So I think we're all on the same side of this particular incident. Or am I missing something? Is there a faction out there who is saying, well, you know, George Floyd got what had come to him? I don't hear anyone saying anything like that.
And nor do I. Nor do I. And I think just to come back full circle, when we talk about, just think about, you know, athletes and entertainers, what their purpose is now and how they got to unite, is because they do have a platform. Whoever has a platform, but it shouldn't just be athletes and entertainers. It's got to be white. It's got to be brown. It's got to be green. It doesn't matter. This is where everyone has to come together. It's got to be the president. It's got to be united. You can't use. And that's the thing. And you know, I listen to certain things, and, you know, people hated me for a vote that I made. And now when I hear certain things, I'm like, wow. I'm like, man, I have to check myself, because sometimes the rhetoric, and you think that, okay, it's just a little thing. This is just entertainment. And then once things get in really going, going to change some of the tones that you say. And then you hear, if you loot, we shoot, those things. And that come, you know, that saying's from a Florida officer, a chief, that, you know, when riots happened some years back, that where that came from, you know. So when you hear certain things that trigger, when people understand what's happening, they're like, those are bad words. Those are bad things. That's not something that's going to unite at this particular time. And then, you know, when you're talking about, you know, the athletes and the entertainers, do they have a voice? Yes, they do. One thing I can tell you, when you look at athletes and entertainers, why do you like sports? Why do, if I ask you guys will say you like it because it's competition. You'll like it because it's fair. You have someone officiating, but it's usually fair. They don't move the free throw line when Michael Jordan was shooting a free throw. They didn't move it when Larry Bird was shooting a free throw, because everything is fair in sports. That's why people enjoy sports. That's why people can excel and do things. Tom Brady can excel and do things. Doesn't matter what color, no matter what. So sports is one of those pure things that you get to see people play at a high level, and there's no boundaries. There's rules you got to play within, but it doesn't matter what your skin color, you still can be successful. And I think that's what sports justify, and that's why when you think about sports, those are great. But guess what? In life, the free throw line is moved. In life, there is not the same. You're not given the same opportunities. So it's a lot of different things that are out there and obstacles that have to be that are there. And we look at them and say, well, hey, well, it shouldn't be. Well, it's a reason why, Coase, that right now in the NFL, we're thinking about what happened if you were in a third round, but if you hire a minority coach or a GM, you get to jump up to what, 10 picks, Dibs, or was it 19? Whatever it may have been. Why? And that's the question, Coase, that a lot of people have to say, why is this an issue that they are trying to do that in a sport that's have a lot of black men, have a lot of white men, but in a very diverse sport? Why is the league thinking about putting in that type of rule?
I've got a lot of thoughts on that one. I think that's I was mostly encouraged by the number of black head coaches or past black head coaches in the National Football League who said that is a horrible idea to do. I was so happy that they stepped out and said, listen, this is not the answer. And we can have a greater Rooney Rule discussion maybe for another time. I've got some very deep thoughts because I think the Rooney Rule doesn't help anyone, but it does protect the ownership. Dan, when we get to athletes who are saying things, I mean, obviously the one in the Bay Area that stands out the most is Colin Kaepernick. Is there a difference for athletes who have a voice using that voice in public fashion versus using that voice at someone else's expense? For instance, an athlete on the field of play, which is a line of business for ownership, using someone else's business to make their political point.
I think it can be a challenging way to decide what is right and what is fair, because ultimately we have an opportunity over the next 4 hours to basically say whatever we want. We could step outside of what the company has instructed us to do. We have this airwave. We can do what we want to do. So if you're a quarterback of an NFL team and you feel like you're so outraged at what's going on that you want to show a protest, a sign of protest, and you realize that the biggest audience you can reach is while you're on the job, you certainly can do that. You have that right. And I think that's a situation where most people would look back at what Colin Kaepernick did, and you see the side by side of him kneeling with next to the officer kneeling on George Floyd's neck. And it's a stark comparison where he was so vilified for daring to take a knee during the anthem of an NFL preseason game. It just seems so stupid, even more stupid now looking back, that we were so outraged at that. Yet to your point, Jim, when you do something in your personal time versus your professional time, there are different ramifications, and that's just the nature of being an employer or an employee. But in this case, I look back personally at the outrage over Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, and it's more offensive than ever.
Do you think people change now, Dan and Coase, when you guys, how do you think now the masses feel, especially in the Bay Area? Because there was a lot, you remember, Dibs, it got heated. Coase, you've been on the show, it got heated about Colin. Do you think there's a lot of people now that have changed their position when they see what's going on?
I don't know, Lo, because you get down to issues of the national anthem and patriotism and all of the things that people interpreted his action to be affronting those things, and people are offended by that. I think something that Jim said earlier really struck me, and it's the nature of the outrage. Of course, everyone's outraged at what happened to George Floyd, and you see that, and nobody's going to be on the other side. But the question is why? Why does this continue to happen where an individual has been written up by his own internal affairs department multiple times, almost 20 times, and yet systemically police are not maybe held to the same standards as other people in other jobs? And so I think that's where a lot of the head scratching comes from.
You know, you used a phrase systemic, and I hear this phrase a lot. But I need help in defining that, because, you know, you look at national statistics, more white people are killed by police than black people are killed by police. Rogue cops are rogue cops. This was among the worst circumstances I've ever witnessed on video with a police officer doing to a poor gentleman who and I don't even know how it got there. Weren't they? It's and again, we understand this is
a $20 deal. It was he had a fake $20 bill. He didn't have any idea. Mm-hmm. And the store manager said when they get fake 20s, they're told to call the cops. So he had a $20 bill. He didn't. From what I'm just, I don't know for sure, but what I've heard, Jim, is so he used it. They called. He didn't flee because he didn't think it was fake. So he stayed around the store and was doing whatever he was doing. They came up and questioned him. They show video where he gets out of the car peacefully. He walks over to the building. They put him down. And you see that it's no. So they said, oh, he was fighting. Wasn't fighting in those videos. And usually you turn off your cam is when things are peaceful. So you see him on the wall, getting out of the car, not resisting arrest, any of those things. And, you know, all this stuff breaks out. So that was the reason why they were speaking to him, I think.
And thanks for, you know, somewhat clarifying some of that part of it. But is there a belief that police officers are being told you can do this? Or is this a rogue scenario? And let's not kid ourselves. I'm pro police. I'm going to come out right now and just tell everyone I am pro police officer. That doesn't mean I think 100% of police officers are right all the time. There are rogues. There's no question about it. But I'm pro police officer. So when people say there's a systemic problem, and I'm not asking in a cynical way. I'm asking for education for me. Does that mean that people believe police officers are told you can do this?
No, I don't.
And I'm not saying that you have the definitive
answer. I don't
think
it's an organized part of the training manual. But I think when you look at the instances that have happened, and this is not an isolated incident, unfortunately, and you see it's not a pattern, that's unfair to say, but I think the part where it's systemic, it's where police officers who are involved in incidents with the public, and they are not punished or rebuked at the levels I think that people would want. So you have these, quote, rogue officers who almost every time, to a man, this is not the first incident that they've had where there's been some form of police brutality that's on their ledger. And yet they continue to work. They continue to be on the beat. And then when something like this happens, then, you know, you look at it as a victimized population and you say this is another example. And as you've seen in the past, Jim, the majority of the times the officer's not charged with murder. This time, obviously, the officer has been. And I think that the victimized population looks at the history of these incidents and a lack of even punishment after such a heinous act, and they feel like it's a part of the system.
I'll tell you right now, I've had an officer, and it's a black officer. I know him really well. We're great friends, played ball together. Dibs, he told me we were hanging out one night, and he said, I got a license to kill. And you got to realize, and he said this to me, and I'm like, wow. And I'm like, yeah, you know, we laughed it off at the time. I'm not thinking he's going, but you know what? I'm like, wow, he meant that. And so it does give you a sense of power. It gives you a sense of power being a professional athlete. I get it. It gives a sense of power, radio, certain things we can do. It's because we have this platform. So, you know, to answer Dib's question all earlier when you talked about, hey, your place of work, people look at this as kind of disrespect. But there, you know, you look at, certain things, how things are work. Look at Alice. This, you know, Alice writes laws. You see, you know, Trayvon Martin, he gets killed. But we talked about, because you have a right to defend yourself, that because of that law, you know, look at that. That was by corporate America. So Alice is corporate America, that people can, and they can have a voice. So it's deeper than that. So we got it. So when we go down these roads about, hey, how's this look? This is corporate America influencing government, influencing by having laws, influencing. So this is why George got off, because of that. But go look up, Alice, what it does. Go look at the influence. Go look at prison. See, there's so many things, guys, that I know. And that's why I think people have to watch and understand these things and educate yourself about it. And those are some of the things that I do, especially when it comes to these things, because I want to be able to talk to my kids as a father. To say, hey, look, understand what Alice is doing and the sphere of influence has had on the prison system. Go look at how prisons went up from being from going up 100,000 a year to 300-400 that in 10 years, over 1 million people. Go look at the Jim Crow law. Go look at when slaves were after they released, that you have to look at codes, because these are things that Dibs was talking about, systemic, how it's been ingrained in the country. And so we're still trying to fix some of these things that they were forced from slavery to force to be in prison for. This country was built on free labor. So there has been things that happen, and they say, okay, you got to be peaceful. You got to be peaceful. Okay, you want to be peaceful? You bring in Martin Luther King. Guess what happened? He was killed. He was number two on the FBI list. This is in our lifetime. This isn't something like hundreds of years ago. He was number two most wanted, most feared people on the FBI. So when you see these things, you say, okay, be peaceful. A lot of people that tried that were killed and murdered. And it doesn't excuse looting and doing people taking advantage of a situation for their own personal gain. It doesn't excuse that at all. But you do have to look at some of these things, and you have to bring in past and history to get to the point we're at now.
All right, Joe Lowe and Dibs, 95.7 The Game. There is a lot going on here this morning throughout the Bay Area, throughout America. We want to be with you as we try to make our way forward in this. And we can't say that we will have an end game by 10 o'clock when we're off the air and Bonte, Steiny, and Guru come on, but we can work with you. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. That is our phone number and our text line number as well. So if you'd like to drop us a text, you can do that at the aforementioned number, or you can give us a phone call and weigh in on this. Part of the discussion, though, does have to do with athletes becoming involved in the discussion. And in an odd way, for the people who are unhappy that athletes use the field of play for their protest, and there is a large faction I'm going to say something that I'm going to be honest. When it comes to Colin Kaepernick, and I was the guy who said, "Lo, he is changing the play, the quarterback position single-handedly." He was a one-man wrecking crew, and I couldn't wait for him on Sunday to gallop past the Green Bay Packers 57 yards, score a touchdown, and kiss his bicep. I loved watching number 7 be a quarterback, but I did not like watching number 7 sit on a bench while everyone else stood on a sideline and was respectful to the national anthem. And I did not like when he and Eric Reed took a knee, because I felt that their protest, where they had it, was the wrong instance. And you want to know something? I might have stood side by side with Colin Kaepernick if he was somewhere else making those same statements. But the circumstance we're in now, athletes aren't going to be making that statement on a field of play, because we have no fields of play. There is no basketball, no NHL for Evander Kane. There is no MLB. The NFL won't get started until September. Is now a time, and Dan, I'll start with you. Is now a time when maybe their voices can be heard by those who won't hear them when the protest is on the field of play? Is this a chance for them to maybe be heard by that faction and maybe have their voice count a little bit more?
I don't know if it'll be more or less, but certainly they can be heard by an audience outside of the field of play now more than ever. You saw LeBron James, and I know we'll get into it. He sent out some tweets highlighting peaceful protests in Colorado and lightweight calling out the media for not reporting peaceful protests that are going on and fixating on all the violent protests that are taking place. I do think, though, that on the field of play, when you get back to basketball, when the NBA players come out, you're going to see some sort of I don't know if it'll be a protest or if they'll be wearing T-shirts. You saw yesterday Vanessa Bryant Instagram. She put out a picture of Kobe from years ago with an I Can't Breathe shirt on, which, of course, is reminiscent of Eric Garner and his murder at the hands of police in New York some years ago. So I think you're going to see some.
And was it the same for George Floyd? Didn't George Floyd, wasn't he saying somewhat of the same thing also?
Yes, he was, which is why Vanessa, I think, put that out there. But, you know, Jim, I think when you look at, and this is me as a sports fan, when you think about the protest, Colin Kaepernick, and for me, you never want to have your protests mixed with your sports. Sports is a place to get away. But when you have situations like we do right now, I think it's important to have those expressions at any time. And if it's an NFL Sunday when you're going to have a maximum audience, I'm all for it, because desperate times, and these are desperate times in America, they call for extreme measures. So for me, I have no problem with on-court, on-field protests over this issue, because this is ripping apart America from the inside out.
Yeah, it really is, Coz. And I had one of my relatives come on the show, Coz, back in the day when this was going on with Colin Kaepernick, Tommy Smith from Lemoore, you know, in the 64 Olympics when, you know, he won in Mexico City, you know, he was on this, you know, on the platform and he used the Black Power sign. And in Lemoore, he couldn't come into the town. They threatened him at his house in Lemoore, small town, you know, grew up. He couldn't be in the town, couldn't get a job. His family was because of those actions. So when you stand for certain things, sometimes it can be misunderstood. And because a lot of people don't understand and they're not thinking the rest of racism, and they say, you know what? I don't use the N-word. You know what? I'm not the one to do any of those things. But are you the ones that still, if you see a black man sitting in a certain community, would you call the cops because he's sitting down bird watching? So even though it's a deeper ingrained, you see certain things as people say, well, I don't do that. But are you telling your daughter, you can't date that kind of guy? I don't want you dating or bringing home a black guy. Is it, we say those things, we don't say, hey, I'm not doing that. But are we still talking about, you know, certain things and certain issues and saying, okay, you got to watch them, watch out for, you know, are we still a woman walking by and she clutches her purse when she sees. So all these little things are still there. And it's certain things are maybe not, people don't feel that they're just blatant with it. But there's those little things that you got to ask yourself. You got to ask yourself as a man of color, too. Do I give that type of, am I giving that off? What am I doing? How can I better myself? How can I better understand, you know, the people around me? I have, daughters that are in high school and, you know, she's over at a little friend's house to play and they're asking her, you know, and I tell my daughter, Mia, I said, how do you feel? I have this conversation with her. I said, you need to be in. She's like, I'm just saying no comment. I said, that's the worst thing to say, baby, is no comment. Because then you give it, they assume that you feel a certain way. They assume that you're mad. Instead of saying, you know what? I'm praying for this country. What I've seen, I'm disgusted, I'm hurt, I'm disappointed, and I'm praying for this country. I said, that is one of the things that you can say. And you ought to talk to them because, you know, she's one of a very few black kids at Clovis North. You know, it's a very good high school. And, you know, so she's an outcast, not an outcast, but, you know, she's loved because so many people know her because also her name, you know. So I tell her, I said, hey, the people that you think are your friend, if you say, hey, how do you think, you know, and I told her, I said, go to your friends that you're really your friends when they want to talk to you and say, how do you think I feel when I'm sitting there with you and I'm the only black girl in the room and all you guys around me? What are you thinking? I still have thoughts and I'm trying to, because I understand what she's feeling. She doesn't know how to express herself, Dibs, because she's young. So she's in a room full of all her, you know, her peers are white and she's the only black girl there. And she's looking, they're looking, and she's like, her mind is, she's thinking two, you know, she's got two different messages in her mind. What are they thinking? How are they receiving me about this all? So it's tough.
Listen, this is not an easy thing. And we're being very honest to the audience today as well. We are not sitting here pontificating our beliefs and throwing them onto you. We are trying to work our way down the field. And quite frankly, Lorenzo has his views, Dan Dibley has his views, and I've got my views. And they don't all jibe. So we're all trying to get down the field together on this one, and you're welcome to join us, 888-957-9570, and you can text us, 888-957-9570. When we continue, I believe we have some audio of Evander Kane. Sharks player, talented player, one of the few black players in the National Hockey League. And the National Hockey League has not had a great year when it comes to race relations. We'll hear some of those comments and we'll try to build on that. And then I have a very important question about some of the looting and the rioting and the misbehavior that's going on since all this. And I have a question that I need help with. Dan Dibley is here. So is Lorenzo Neal. I am Jim Cosimore in for Joe Fortenbaugh. Please continue to join us and be part of the discussion on a very difficult day in the Bay Area and throughout America. Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, I'm trying to get into our Zoom meeting here, guys, and for some reason I'm like the only person who is screwing this thing up. What's going on here? All right, I'll get to it in a second. I'll get on there.
I had to give you crickets, Jim. I had to give you crickets on this.
I know. I got nothing here. I got nothing here. Welcome in, Joe Lowe and Dibs, the name of the show. I am Jim Cosimore, in for Joe Fortenbaugh. He has the week off. Dan Dibley is here. So is Lorenzo Neal. Listen, it's a tough time in America. There are some other sports issues going on. We won't delve too deeply into them. But real quick, I just want to say I think it's a good thing the NBA is targeting July 31st. I think it's a good thing the NHL is targeting a 24-team playoff play-in. And I guess, Dan, Major League Baseball, the Players Association, it's my understanding that they have countered MLB with a 112-game plan?
Yeah, great job, MLB, PA. It's just we can't get it straight with the money and the pay cuts. And so we want more games, even though what would that mean, Jim? Doubleheaders or a November World Series? Baseball is really stepping in it, in my opinion, in a chance and in a time when they could step forward, have a plan, and get people excited. It's continuing to be this back and forth.
Yeah, it is. But I think people at this point, God, I hope that they're not getting bogged down. You know, you and I will get bogged down on it. Lowe will get bogged down on it because that's kind of part of what we have to do. But Lowe, isn't it just doesn't it give you a little bit of it scratches my itch that something could be a little closer than we thought, and maybe we will start to see things. It might take a month and a half to 2 months, but maybe we're getting a little bit closer to things.
Yeah, I think that basketball and hockey will come back. Baseball, me and Dibs, we're in the same church on this. I just think that it's too ugly. It's too convoluted. Players aren't willing to give up what they're asking. And that's why they counter back with another 20-some games, 20, 30 games more, because they understand it's hard for a guy to take more than a 50% play cut and then go down to some of the things they're making. And I just don't think that they will. I think that their union's too strong. So I'd be very, very surprised, Coz, if baseball happens this year.
I just want to make sure we get everything squared away. This segment is presented by Golden State Lumber, open 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. All you have to do is visit goldenstatelumber.com for more information. All right, a little sports to detour our way into back into what we have been talking about and unfortunately what America is talking about. And we have to have these discussions from time to time, and we'll do it from the sports angle. Evander Kane from the San Jose Sharks, who wrote a piece in ESPN the magazine last off season. It was the body issue, and talked about some of the difficulties he has as a black man in the NHL. The National Hockey League has not had a great year when it comes to race relations. There have been coaches who have lost jobs because of things they have said or the ways that they have treated players of color. It has been a very unfortunate and bad year for the National Hockey League. Here's what Evander Kane had to say. This is from ESPN, some audio from ESPN. Here's what Evander Kane had to say about what other athletes have to do.
We need so many more athletes that don't look like me speaking out about this, having the same amount of outrage that I have inside. And using that to voice their opinion, to voice their frustration, because that's the only way it's going to change. We've been outraged for hundreds of years, and nothing's changed. You know, it's time for guys like, you know, Tom Brady and Sidney Crosby and those type of figures to speak up about what is right and clearly in this case, what is unbelievably wrong, because that's the only way we're going to actually create that unified anger to create that necessary change, especially when you talk about systematic racism.
All right, so that's Evander Kane. That was from ESPN. And here's where I hear this message a lot. People have to say something. What is it? And I guess I wish Evander was with us, because I'd ask, what do you want them to say? Everyone in this instance, everyone. I don't know of anyone who has supported the officer who murdered George Floyd. I don't know anyone who supports the officer. What does Evander Kane and what do these other athletes want people who don't look like Evander Kane to say? Because right now, we're all on the same team. And Lo, maybe I'll start with you with this one, but because I sometimes get lost, I feel like if I just say that, it's almost as if, hey, look at me, I'm so woke. Look at me, I'm anti this. Of course I'm outraged by this. What the horrible human of an officer did is an evil, awful thing. What else am I supposed to say? Because I don't look like Evander Kane.
Right. And I think one, and you know, and I'll ask for you and Dibs, what do I tell my daughter? What do I tell my daughter who goes to a school where there's maybe 20 blacks and she has to be one of the, you know, varsity cheerleaders that are on the team and no one looks like her? How do you know? What do I tell her about her thoughts? How do you know, you guys being white, you know, what are you telling your kids? How should they interact? If you guys had a daughter and you knew that my daughter Mia was going to be at school and she's the only black girl that's on the cheerleading squad and all these things, and you see, and you got to put yourself in a black person's body to say she's seeing black people lose, she's seeing white people lose, but people are still saying, hey, this is outrage, what are they doing, it's crazy, this isn't going to solve anything, the looting. And now you got 5-6 girls, you got a bunch of people coming to her saying, what are you guys doing? How do you handle that situation? What do I tell her? I understand about Vander.
Right.
I'm asking you guys, help me with my situation.
No, and I'm kind of in the reverse situation in that my son is one of only, I mean, there's more than 20 white kids at his high school, Skyline High, but he's certainly in the minority among kids who go there. So he's experiencing, you know, being a white kid in a predominantly minority high school, as opposed to what I grew up with, which was totally the opposite, much more similar to what your daughter is experiencing. I went to Marin Catholic, where you didn't have more than a small handful of people of color in the school. So it's, you know, talking to my kid about what's going on. And obviously it's different now because he hasn't been to school since March 11th or whatever, when the shelter happened, which I think is, it's kind of an odd way to go through something like we're going through, because, you know, all of a sudden now you've got all these protests raging, people in the streets. And I think part of it is the pent up frustration of the coronavirus for some, you know, taking advantage of what should be a peaceful protest. And that's why some of these are turning violent.
And that's the thing, Dibs. Go ahead, Coase.
Well, I want to make sure I understand the question correctly. And this is something that I want to say something.
Which
honestly,
is good. I
want to say something honestly. And it's hard in Northern California to say something honestly, because this is a very one-sided region we live in. But if your question to me is, friends come up to your daughter and say, why are they, and the question is, why are black people looting these buildings?
Yeah, it's her thoughts. You got to realize,
right.
So she's going to a place where, you know, it'd be like Dibs' son. You know, he's at a place where it's blacks, but he's been around, and Dibs is a guy who's going to tell his kids, tell them the right thing. They don't have that racism in them. So, and they teach them, he and his wife, they're different. I mean, Dibs, you and your wife, I know who you guys are. You guys are different than a lot of people parenting. So your son is going to be like, hey, I understand, but you got to realize she's at a place where, you know, there is difference. And so I'm just trying to say, How do you do it without necessarily, how do you tell your daughter? And so that's what I'm just trying to deal with, those balance, and how far do you go? Because, you know, you can go down a rabbit hole and the vitriol will come out. So just trying to keep that balance. That's why I said, hey, say we're praying for the world. You're disappointed. You're disgusted. You're hurt. That's what I told her. So what I'm asking you guys, how would you handle that? Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, an honest answer.
Please.
Just as I showed my daughter, I have three teenage daughters. I showed my daughters have seen the video of that horrible police officer and what he did to George Floyd. And I said, that is an awful act, an inhumane act that should never happen. And then when they say, well, why are those people running into, I'm watching in Emeryville, running into Uniqlo, leaving with a handful of stuff, making the right turn into H&M. To get more stuff, and seeing buildings boarded up in Walnut Creek, and in my town where I live, where in the afternoon we took a bike ride downtown to watch a car show, and people were out and having fun. 6 hours later, those same places were boarded up because in my town, we were told vandals, rioters, and thugs were targeting us with home invasion. My message to my daughters is, what that officer did is heinous and wrong. And what those people, and it doesn't matter the color, what those people are doing to those businesses is wrong as well. And I would expect that Black America would say, hey, I'm with you. That the it's obvious the officer is an idiot. And you know what? Black America should be with the rest of us in saying, the people who are the rogue invaders, rioters, looters, they're wrong, too. And when both sides see that and share that same ideal, instead of giving them a pass and saying, yeah, but they've been oppressed for so long. Listen, I hear that message. I don't know if I get it, but I hear it. But until both sides say A is wrong and B is wrong, and we admit it, that's when we'll start to get down the road a little bit further, a little bit more slowly. And it's an honest answer, Lo. It's not one that I think everyone wants to hear, but I do think some in the audience would say, yeah, I kind of understand what you're saying.
Right.
I think at the same time, and you look at all of the violence that's spilling over across the country, it's not particularly one group. And you see reports here in Oakland, Jim, and I see it each and every time there is a protest activity. You get people from out of town, whether it's Antifa or other disturbers who want to come in and just cause problems. And so you have a group of people who are mostly looking to protest peacefully. And it's not to say that all protesters are looking to be peaceful, because there's outrage. And when there's outrage, you can't have outrage without rage. And so you see people protesting, trying to genuinely protest, and sometimes tempers flare. There's video of, I saw a friend of mine post a video of a San Jose police officer, short guy, low, clear short man's complex, and he's, you know, flexing and maxing with his gun, and he's, you know, barking at protesters, and
I saw that. I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, and it's instance, and I'm not saying that makes this guy a bad cop, and I'm not saying that, you know, he wasn't provoked by protesters, but when you see these images of the animosity on both sides, and I'm not saying being a police officer is easy at all, but my big sticking point in all this, Jim, is you get to a situation where there's rioting and there's looting, and it's not necessarily entirely from people who are there to protest the cause. To your point, this leads us to not be able to make the progress we need to make, because the message gets lost amid this lawlessness.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco. It is a radio.com sports station. Joe Lo and Dibs.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.